Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This week, we celebrated the baptism of our Lord. The fact that Jesus, who is very God in the flesh, would submit to baptism at the hand of his cousin, the prophet John, is a foolish thing. It doesn't make sense that God would be baptized. It doesn't make sense for a sinful human being to be doing the baptizing. It doesn't make sense to our rational thought. It just doesn't compute. The prophet himself, in humility, protests against it, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" It didn't seem right to him, according to his natural reason. It looked like foolishness. But Jesus answered him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And our Lord was baptized. And the heavens were opened to men, and Christ was revealed to be the Son of God. And through his own baptism, he lent his sanctifying power to all waters, that we too might be washed with simple water, but have thereby the forgiveness of sins and new life in him. This great and salvific event is just one of many examples of what St. Paul is speaking about in 1 Corinthians today when he says, "God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise." And it reminds us of this truth, that the wisdom of God is not our wisdom. For as the Lord says through the prophet Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We have a difficult time with that. We are by nature a very prideful race. We think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. We look at our accomplishments, our advances in the arts, in technology, in science, in biology, in medicine, and we think ourselves wise. And with such fantastic wisdom and knowledge, there is little use for God and his wisdom, at least for the God revealed in the Scriptures and in the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ. After all, we know better. We can measure such things against our reason and our wisdom, and that God does not make much sense to us, or so our human nature says. And such thinking is not restricted to the outside world. It's found within the church. Yes, even there in the hallowed halls of cathedrals and chapels and country parishes, in those meeting halls, in those Bible classes, and yes, even in seminary classrooms, the ugly human pride rears its head in rejection of the true wisdom of Christ. After all, we know better. Paul's words to us today are so very important because they cut through that illusion that's given to us by false worldly pride, and they show us as we actually are. "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many are wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to shame the mighty, and the lowly things of this world, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are." He reminds us of what and how we really are. Most of us are not wise. Most of us are not mighty. And most of us are certainly not noble. Indeed, in relationship to him who is alone, only wise, mighty, and noble, we are nothing. We are nothing but garbage to be thrown away on the trash heap and buried. And we must remember this, that we have no standing on our own. no merit with which to be prideful in the face of God and his wisdom. But he's taken us. He has reclaimed us and lifted us up off of that garbage heap, shined us, cleaned us, made us new again. He has saved that which is foolish. And he does it not because of anything in ourselves, not because of our learning or our understanding or our wisdom or even our personality or our study or our faith. He does it out of pure grace. And there is no place for pride in that. And so even less so is there a place for pride in regard to the office of the ministry. For if we do not deserve to be called Christians, much less do we deserve to be called pastors in Christ's church. Not one of us is good enough, holy enough, or wise enough to do that. We are foolish things, sinful men with various weaknesses and flaws. We are not better than anyone else, and we have no right to the office which we occupy or for which you are studying. There is simply no room for pride here. And yet that kind of pride continually creeps into Christ's church and into her clergy. And these begin to think themselves lords in the church, ruling by their own wisdom, rejecting the seemingly foolish words of Christ for that which they know better. Sometimes this pride flows from the cult of personality which can form around a particularly gregarious or eloquent pastor. And other times it comes from that supposedly great learning and wisdom we've gained. I think we've all seen examples. The entire higher critical school of biblical interpretation is nothing but scholarly pride, based around the thought that one can use one's own reason to judge the veracity of God's word. Likewise, these current trends in ecumenism we keep seeing, which seek fellowship without unity of confession, are nothing but a pious pride, the use of one's own standards to determine what fellowship is, rather than looking to God's word to see what he says. Well, it's easy to cast stones at other churches, but don't think that such pride doesn't exist in our own synod. For many, our synod indeed, has pridefully imported the world's wisdom here too, importing psychological models to test a man's fitness for the ministry, importing new forms of worship and jettisoning the historic, pious, and edifying worship of the church, basing these decisions on the whims and fancies of people rather than on the holy things of Christ. And others have sought to market our church to the unbelieving world, hoping that by becoming like the world, conforming to it, we might be able to save some from it. Again, this is not the wisdom or the power of God, but the inferior thoughts of man. And what's the result of such prideful endeavors? They ultimately fail, because they are at enmity with the wisdom of God, and ultimately they will be judged. And we must stop going down this road. We must turn around and repent. We must not run Christ's church by human pride, by human wisdom, or we will fail. But the foolish things have Christ's blessing. Look at the foolishness of Christ. The patristic commentator Ambrosiaster says, "The two most foolish things in the world are in particular the virgin birth of Christ and his resurrection from the dead." But without these things, without Christ's incarnation and without his death and his resurrection, there is no salvation. Human wisdom would not let us have a God in the flesh, let alone a God on a cross. But this is God's wisdom, and it gives us life. Look at the foolishness of preaching. Who would think that the simple spoken word could bring a person into judgment and bring another to the forgiveness of sins? But this is just what the preaching of God's law and his gospel does. Again, it's not rational to us. It seems foolish. But it is the wisdom and the power of God. Look again to baptism. How can simple water do such great things? And how can even water comprehended in God's command and connected to God's word do it, causing a person to undergo death and resurrection, to have new birth in the Spirit, to be clothed with Christ? Human wisdom rejects this foolishness, but such foolishness is the wisdom and the power of God himself. And what could be more foolish than Holy Communion and the confession that bread and wine are Christ's true body and true blood? And what rational person could think that eating and drinking it could either condemn or give life? It's foolishness, but it's the wisdom of God. And what rational, intelligent person could believe that God would choose a person like me or people like you to speak for him, to baptize for him, to officiate at his altar, to forgive in his place? But this is the wisdom of God. He chooses that which is foolish, that which is weak, that which is lowly, that which is nothing. And he uses these to his glory, shaming those who will not receive them. May our Father ever keep us from such shameful pride and cause us to seek his wisdom above our own, that we may glory only in the Lord Christ, who is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption, who has raised us from that garbage heap of this world to new life in him, and has called us, unworthy as we are, into his service. Amen. In the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.